Social security changes have been in the air in Washington all winter, but the first actual committee hearing on that subject has waited until spring to happen. Tomorrow, the Senate Finance Committee will take up the matter of Social Security's future, even though there is as yet no bill to talk about. And joining us to talk about this and other topics from the Capitol is NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving. Welcome, Ron.
Hello, Noah.
The president put Social Security right up at the top of the nation's agenda, but not a bill on the table. He's saying, in effect, I won't negotiate with myself. Is it unusual not to propose some legislation here?
It is unusual to begin the actual legislative process and get the machinery rolling without having a bill to put through the grinder. But in this case, the president has said he wants the bill to come out of Congress. He says he doesn't want to just put up a bill that will be shot down right away. And even though we don't have the actual details, most everybody knows that the president wants to divert some of the Social Security tax money to create private personal accounts invested in the financial markets. And the idea is that the earnings from these accounts would make up for whatever reductions in Social Security benefits might be necessary to keep the system solvent past the midpoint of this century. So the Senate Finance Committee can get together and the Republicans can talk about that idea and the Democrats can sit on their hands and wait to see something a little more concrete.
The president powered up Air Force One and set off on a 60-day, 60-city drive to sell his ideas and the whole idea that you should pay attention to it. Any effect from that trip here as we end up April?
Well, there's one more week to go on the 60 days, and the president and his surrogates will have gotten out to something like five dozen cities pushing this idea. And the polls are very consistent in showing they've succeeded in convincing a majority of Americans that Social Security has a long-range funding problem. But they have not yet persuaded most people that private accounts are the answer, and they have not said much about what the benefit reductions are going to be. They usually rule out any kind of tax increase, although they've kind of talked a little bit about raising the cap on the amount of income that's subject to Social Security tax, and they have talked a little bit about possibly making the private accounts voluntary, so they would be add-ons to the Social Security tax.
These are private, sometimes called personal investment accounts.
That's correct.
Other Washington news, the Senate is talking about filibusters on judges Democrats are threatening to, and I got to ask you about this. This metaphor the Democrats are using, go nuclear, the nuclear option, seems in a way unfortunate. Is it really worth that sort of imagery?
There's an irony here in that the first people to use the go nuclear language were actually Republicans who used it in something of a jesting threat way last year when talking about this idea of changing the rules so that a filibuster could be shut off with just a simple majority instead of 60 votes. I believe it was Trent Lott, the Republican Rules Committee chairman, who first used the phrase, and then it was adopted briefly by some of the other Republicans, and then they decided that it really didn't sound very good. So they started to call it the constitutional option to have an up or down vote and to shut off a filibuster with just a simple majority.
And the Democrats using nuclear option now.
Yes, the Democrats were quite willing to pick it up because it does have a scary aspect to it, doesn't it?
In the news almost daily in the Senate is the nomination of John Bolton to be U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. And this has been put off for a while. Do you see anything happening there this week?
Probably not, unless there's some new revelation regarding Mr. Bolton. But the next big date on the calendar is May 12, when the Senate Foreign Relations Committee meets again to talk about him, and he may be back to defend himself at that time. Of course, most of this conversation has been about his personality and his, you know, alleged boorishness and brutish behavior towards his underlings. The underlying aspects of this debate, though, are probably a lot more serious. Accusations that he may have tried to manipulate intelligence, try to make people who were bringing in intelligence to the State Department conform to the views that he already had about what was going on in Cuba and some other situations. And there's also a question of whether or not his highly critical attitude towards the United Nations would make him more or less effective as the U.S. ambassador there.
Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Noah.